Roster cuts have begun as the Green Bay Packers get ready for one last preseason game before the start of the regular season. We welcome back onto the show Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, who will help us go through the roster and preview the final preseason game. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for the final preseason game. We're talking about roster cuts. We're talking about all sorts of stuff. And to do that this morning, we have a guest joining us on the line.
Expert interview.
We have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us for the first time during the 2015 season. He'll be here every Wednesday throughout the year till the Packers season ends. Nathan, how you doing now?
Hey, Brian, I'm doing well. Happy to be back on for another year and really happy to have football season ready to go again. College football season starting, NFL regular season in a week. I'm excited.
Good. Well, wait, is this the fourth year or the fifth year we've had you on? I know I've lost count.
I think this might be year five for us.
Year five. Wow. Very good. All right. We got a lot to get to here. I don't know if you can quantify this, but the Packers seem to have caught a break when Randall Cobb said he'd be ready for the start of the regular season. I guess what I want to know, Nathan, is how devastating would it have been to be without both Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb in the season opener?
Well, obviously, it would be a huge loss to have both of those players gone for an extended period of time. The closest thing I could do to quantifying it is last year, when Aaron Rodgers threw to either Cobb or Nelson, he had an NFL quarterback rating of 126.5, so clearly way off the charts for NFL passer rating. And then when he threw to anyone else, he had a rating of 91.8, which is still relatively good compared to other quarterbacks in the league, just not nearly as good as when throwing to one of those two guys. So I don't think the Packers' offense would have completely fallen apart had they lost both Nelson and Cobb for a long period of time. I think Rodgers still would have had some success. The run game still would have had plenty of success, but just not nearly as great offense as it could be.
Well, you were able to quantify it, and I like that very good. So it also looks like Jared Abradaris will be making his debut for the Packers in Thursday's preseason game. I'm not sure if you can tell this, but has there ever been an example of another player making a 53-man roster with such little playing time?
Oh, yeah. First off, it's good to finally get a chance to see him play at the NFL level, even though it's just preseason. I tried to look for guys that were a similar comparison, started looking last year at wide receivers, guys who didn't play in the preseason, then played in the regular season. Most of the guys had previous experience. The main exception to that is there were a couple highly drafted guys, Odell Beckham, Allen Robinson, guys who were highly enough drafted that even though they didn't see any preseason action, the team wasn't going to give up on them after just missing one preseason. So it's harder to find someone that was drafted later, like Abradaris. There probably are comparisons out there of people who have gotten a chance, but just not anyone that I could find right away.
Well, the Odell Beckham comparison I like a lot. I'm not sure we'll get that out of Jared Abradaris, but I'll cross my fingers that they do. Matt Blanchard was among the notable cuts for the Packers on Tuesday. How did he stack up against other NFL quarterbacks in the preseason? Because I'm kind of wondering if he might get claimed on waivers today.
He was someone that graded out a little below average for us. In that last game, he had two really nice deep throws, one that was caught, one that wasn't. So those were at least nice to see. But outside of that, There wasn't too much that I saw that impressed me. A couple other shorter passes, but there were also a decent number of inaccurate throws, an overthrow here, an underthrow there, another ball that he shouldn't have thrown, and then just near the end of that Eagles game, the interception that he threw didn't look good at all. So he's someone that playing so late into preseason games and not shining in those opportunities, I'm not sure if we'll see him get another opportunity at least early this year, especially since it's so hard to at the quarterback position to catch on with the new offense and everything. So I'm not sure if we'll see him get claimed or not, but definitely could be someone to see in the practice squads in the future.
Yeah, he's rough around the edges, but I do like the strength he shows on his arm downfield, things like that. I think there's things that can be developed. We're talking to Nathan Jahnke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Nathan, one of the developments at Tuesday's practice was that rookie Matt Rotheram was working with the starters on the offensive line. How has Rotheram looked in preseason action?
Sure. First off, last year was the first year at Pro Football Focus that we graded college games, and Matt Rotheram is someone who really stood out to us on the college level. So once he signed on with the Packers, he was someone that I expected to really get a chance out of all the undrafted free agents that they signed. And in the preseason so far, he's looked fairly good. Graded out well in the run game, more good blocks than bad ones so far. And then in the pass game, he's graded out a little below average, mostly allowing a couple pressures, especially against Taylor Hart of the Eagles in that last game. So he's someone that I hope to see him get more of a chance in the future for the Packers, but he's graded out a little above average in his chances that he's seen so far.
One of the players Rotheram is competing against is Josh Walker, who I know was the lowest graded player on offense in the last Packers game against the Eagles. So I guess what did you see from him? What did Walker struggle with this past game? Because he's kind of been one of the pleasant stories during training camp for the most part.
Yeah, it's been more the run blocking than the pass blocking that we've seen him struggle with. He's someone that when something goes wrong, it's typically someone's able to get to the inside of him, either in run blocking or pass protection, either to disrupt a running lane or to get inside pressure. But he's someone that it's not too frequently that he's having bad plays in the preseason. It's just when he does something wrong, it really disrupts the play. So it's a pressure that occurs really early in the play, or something that makes life a lot harder for the running back, or ends up leading to a tackle for a loss or a short gain. So he's someone that has graded out both poorly in run blocking and pass blocking, and it's really the really bad plays that he's had more so than the frequent bad plays.
That's good to hear. Sam Barrington was another player that obviously struggled in the last game in coverage, but I thought he looked good, rather good in run support. Can you kind of separate the two and break them down in both phases of the game?
First off, I'd agree with you that he had a pretty poor game in the pass game last week. He allowed two touchdown passes, had a missed tackle on Ryan Matthews, allowed another first down for Darren Sproles, which that long list of things is something I would expect to see out of someone in a regular season game, but in a preseason, just over a few snaps, that doesn't look very good. In the run game specifically, there also hasn't been that much to impress me. He's had a couple of tackles for short gains, which is good to see, but they've either come on plays where he was unblocked or plays where someone else was able to do a lot of the hard work, and then Barrington came in there at the end and was able to make the tackle. Then there's been a number of other occasions where an offensive lineman has been able to get to the second level, get a successful block on Barrington, and then he also has a missed tackle in the run game. So there really hasn't been too much to impress me in the run game out of Barrington in the preseason so far either.
Interesting. I just must be seeing the plays where he's unblocked and then making the tackle, perhaps. Adrian Hubbard, another player released on Tuesday. I thought he'd make it to at least to the second cutdown date. I guess I'm not, terribly surprised that he was cut, but I thought he'd make it a little longer. How did Adrian Hubbard look during the preseason with the Packers?
Yeah, I agree that it was a little surprising, and I think he deserved to at least make it to the next round of cuts. He's graded out right around average. He's gotten at least two pressures in each of the three games so far. And the list of pressures aren't that impressive. He doesn't have any huge highlight plays. So even though he's graded out average, I'm guessing the Packers wanted to see more of a dominant performance in the preseason, something like Jay Elliott's been doing these past 2 years in the preseason games. And since he hasn't been able to dominate against the third string guys, since they knew he wasn't going to make the roster, maybe they're just letting him get a chance to possibly catch on elsewhere.
I know I've claimed that Mike Pennell has looked even better than B.J. Raji this preseason, and I'd be more comfortable with Pennell out on the field. Do the statistics at Pro Football Focus support this?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Pennell has graded out much better than Raji so far. In the run game, Pennell has four run stops where Raji has none. Looking at plays where they aren't making the tackle, Raji has had a couple of good plays in the run game, typically with some sort of bull rush disrupting the run. But more often than not, he's successfully been getting blocked by the offense, where there's been very few negatively graded plays out of Pennell in the run game, and a lot more positive plays where even if he's not the guy that's making the tackle for a short gain, he's disrupting the run and letting someone else end up making the tackle. So, in the run game, it's been night and day difference between the two in the preseason. And then pass rushing, I wouldn't want to see either of these guys too much in the Packers' nickel or dime defenses, but it's worth noting. Pennell has two hurries in the preseason to Raji's zero, so Pennell has the advantage as a pass rusher so far in the preseason as well.
All right, go Mike Pennell. Nathan, thanks so much for kind of helping us go through some of these players to watch, I think, in the last preseason game. Seeing as it's your first time on the show in several months, maybe let's do our Pro Football Focus kind of advertisement here for those who may not, be really familiar with Pro Football Focus, who might be hearing you for the first time on this show. Can you tell them what it's all about and what you do there?
Of course. At Pro Football Focus, we grade every player on every play in every game. So we have an idea of how good everyone on the roster is, not just the traditional guys that get statistics like quarterbacks and running backs. We also look at the offensive linemen. We look at the players on special teams. And not only are we grading every player on every play, we're also keeping track of a bunch of statistics that the NFL doesn't keep track of. So we know not just how many sacks a defensive lineman has, but also how many hits they have and how many hurries they have. And on the flip side, on offense, we also know which offensive player gave up the sack or the hit or the hurry. So we're also able to quantify how good players are playing that way. And we have articles going up all the time with reacting to news and how players are doing. We also, last year was our first year of doing college, so the 10 major conferences, we graded out every player on every play in those games as well. We'll be doing that again this year, so you'll see plenty of college content as well. And also, if you're a fantasy football fan, we have plenty of fantasy football stuff to help you get ready. It's cutting a little close to the draft for this season, but if you still have your draft yet to come, or if you need advice throughout the year for your fantasy season, we have all of that ready for you as well.
That's awesome. Are you going to be doing college week by week this year? I know this past year you just kind of introduced it at dirt before the draft. What's the plan with the college game this year?
Yeah, the plan for college is we should have every game graded at least by the end of the week of the college season, so, or the end of the week that the college game occurred. So after these games start going Thursday, we'll have games getting done throughout the rest of the week. So you'll see plenty of content up there on how all of the college players are doing on a week-by-week level.
Wow, that's awesome. That's just a lot of added value to the Pro Football Focus account. That's really cool. Nathan, thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to talking to you next week. We will break down the roster cuts and preview the season opener.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on for another year and enjoy the game tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us here every Wednesday at Railbird Central. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well. So let's kind of continue on with the show here. We got lots to get to.
Packers news of the day.
Several notes from yesterday, the last training camp practice, a lot of things to talk about here. I think the big story, and one we've kind of already touched on with Nathan Jahnke, Randall Cobb likely to be ready for the season opener. That was the report from Alex Marvez of FoxSports.com, and Randall Cobb himself kind of reiterated that in an interview with the media at Packers training camp. So that's good news, obviously, you know, after the Packers lost Jordy Nelson for the season, to lose Randall Cobb for any amount of time on top of that would be devastating in relative terms. Randall Cobb, you know, brings so much to the Packers, you know, for, especially as a slot receiver, but just, you know, as he becomes more well-rounded the older he gets, and just a home run threat for the Green Bay Packers. So good to see, you know, he's likely to be ready for the season opener. I don't expect to see him in the preseason finale. The Packers will more than likely err on the side of caution, but that's no big deal as they just kind of rest him up. And it'd be interesting to see how much practice time he'll get in the week leading up to the season opener. We'll see. But as long as he's out on the field against the Bears, that's a good thing. On top of that, roster cuts started yesterday. On Monday, the Packers kind of made 5 roster moves on Monday and another 8 on Tuesday to get down to the 75-man limit mandated by the NFL. Tuesday afternoon they had to be down to 75 as teams kind of all turned in their roster cuts at once, or, you know, in a very short time span, at least a majority of them. But kind of going through some of these names here, I'll go through all the roster cuts and just give a few comments on these guys. And we talked about a few of them with Nathan Jahnke already. Matt Blanchard was kind of the biggest name for the Packers, I think. You know, the quarterback who I thought has had a very pleasant training camp. We talked about before, a little bit rough around the edges. He hasn't seen a whole lot of NFL action, just, you know, preseason games, whether it was with the Bears or the Carolina Panthers before joining the Packers. And you know, has a lot of good tools, I think. He's got a real good arm, and what I like about Matt Blanchard, he's never afraid to push that ball down the field. You see so many young quarterbacks, I think, just, you know, playing it safe, and they're doing the little down and out type of routes and hitting receivers on short little passes or hitting the running backs out of the backfield. But Blanchard, he was never scared to push that ball downfield, hit those, you know, wide receivers on those 20-yard routes, things like that, if not more. And I think there's a lot to like about him and continue to develop. And I know, just watching social media yesterday, I think there was kind of a lot of a talk about whether the Packers would keep him on their practice squad or not, because you look at keeping 4 quarterbacks, and you know, the argument is it's tough enough to get 3 quarterbacks work, or the you know, it's not tough to get the starter some work. You can obviously get your backup a little bit of work as well. It's tough enough to get the third guy work, let alone the 4th guy. So there's kind of that argument working against Matt Blanchard, you know, being, you know, asked to be back on the practice squad for the Packers. And I think I realize that. And I don't think it matters, to tell you the truth. I think what the Packers would like Matt Blanchard to stick around on the practice squad. And here's why, because I think you're looking at, in the offseason, I think this is going to be Scott Tolzien's last year in Green Bay. And you know, I just think he's going to be moving on as a free agent. His contract expires after the year. He's been doing well, and I think he's going to look for that next opportunity somewhere else, because otherwise he's going to be sitting behind Aaron Rodgers forever. And I suppose there are worse things, but I think Scott Tolzien has designs on getting playing time during the regular season somewhere else. And so I think that'll bump up Matt Blanchard a year from now up the depth chart. You know, next year he could be the number 3 guy, or, you know, injury happens, the number 2 guy in Green Bay. And I think even if he doesn't get a ton of work, you keep him around to keep him in the system and keep him learning and just keeping him around 1265 Lombardi Avenue. I think that's what you do with a guy like that. Even if he doesn't get a whole lot of practice time running the SCO team, anything like that, who cares? He's learning. He's in all the meetings, all that kind of stuff. I think you keep him around, especially that practice squads, you know, in the past year have been expanded to 10 players. It's a little bit easier to keep around a fourth quarterback. So I see that happening. If he doesn't get claimed on waivers, you know, I would say odds are he doesn't get claimed on waivers, although I'm leaving open that possibility just because he's looked so talented. But we'll see. Adrian Hubbard, we talked about him with Nathan Yonke, outside linebacker for the Packers, kind of one of the more surprising cuts from yesterday. A guy who was signed as an undrafted free agent a year ago, stuck around on the practice squad for a year. It was kind of interesting that Adrian Hubbard kind of announced his own release on Twitter hours before the Packers made it official. I guess I was surprised, I said before, in that I thought he would make it at least to the second round of cuts. I thought his play deserved that. But perhaps the Packers just looking at him and seeing he doesn't have a future in Green Bay. I always thought ever since the Packers signed Hubbard that he's the one player that kind of can replace the size of a Julius Peppers. You know, Julius Peppers is a humongous human being, like 6'7" outside linebacker. There's not many linebackers like that in the NFL. And Adrian Hubbard is kind of Julius Peppers Jr. He's like 6'6". He's really tall. He's really big. But that's where the comparison stopped, though, is the size. It's Adrian Hubbard just didn't have the talent level, the production of a Julius Peppers, and the Packers just kind of, I think, realizing that and had to move on at some point. Jordy Nelson being placed on injured reserve, more of a formality or anything, but, you know, it had now been known for a week plus that Jordy Nelson would be out for the season. It wasn't made official until Tuesday, Jordy Nelson. So he's now placed on IR. He's going to be out till 2016. All it did was it cleared a roster spot, and the Packers, you know, they just weren't forced into making any move until yesterday. Two players were waived injured, both of them rookie wide receivers, Javess Blue and Jimmy Hunt. Waived injured means they'll be receiving injury settlements from the Green Bay Packers. And that also means that they could not be signed to the practice squad for at least 6 weeks. So these are two guys that you're not going to see, at least on the Packers' initial practice squad, because they've been hurt. I know Javess Blue's been dealing with a shoulder injury. I'm not sure whatever happened to Jimmy Hunt, but waived injured for them. James Butler, another wide receiver. He didn't last long in Green Bay. It was kind of interesting how the Packers signed him just this past Thursday. So he basically spent 4 or 5 days as a member of the Packers before being released. I know I wrote the article when the Packers signed him. He's a big wide receiver. He's like 6'3" and kind of, you know, Jordy Nelson goes down and he's kind of got the same size of a Jordy Nelson, is kind of that taller, lankier wide receiver. But again, that's where the comparisons stop, is with the size. Just a guy who just doesn't have the talent level of a Jordy Nelson as well. Kyle Sabetic, released by the Packers, the Wisconsin native and cornerback. He had been dealing with injuries throughout training camp, on and off. He was a feel-good story just because he was a Wisconsin native, but didn't really look like he stood a chance of making the team's 53-man roster. Harold Spears, a tight end, who I thought actually had looked really well at both in the practices that I saw him, as well as during preseason games. Harold Spears made the most of his training camp experience with the Packers, And unfortunately, he just probably was a victim of depth more than anything else at the tight end position. Wasn't going to make the roster ahead of, you know, Kennard Backman or Justin Perillo or anything like that. But credit Harold Spears for a valiant effort, if nothing else. Packers releasing a pair of inside linebackers, Tavares Dantzler and Josh Francis. They had a lot of candidates at inside linebacker, a lot of guys to see, and that's probably why they released two of them, because now in the final preseason game, you're going to see the other inside linebackers get a lot of playing time. Guys like Jake Ryan, like Carl Bradford, Joe Thomas, Nate Palmer, these kind of guys going to get, you know, long auditions to see if they can, you know, make an impact at all at the inside linebacker position. And with Sam Barrington being injured at practice on Tuesday, maybe they could be in line for some more playing time than expected. Fabian's Abelli, friend of Railbird Central. We actually had him on the show right before the start of training camp. He was the tallest player on the Packers roster at 6'8". So the Packers lose their tallest player. Defensive lineman LaVon Hooks was released. He was an undrafted rookie out of the University of Mississippi. And Vince Kowalski, interior offensive lineman. Well, he kind of played a little bit of both guard and tackle for the Packers during training camp. He had been lost for quite some time with a concussion, which kind of put him behind the eight ball a little bit. Unfortunate for him. But there you go. 13 moves in total that the Packers had to make over the past 2 days to get down to the 75-man roster limit prior to the last preseason game. A couple more notes from yesterday in Green Bay. Jared Abradaris returns to practice for the first time since the first training camp practice. So Jared Abradaris took part in the first practice of training camp and the last practice, and he missed more than a month in between. He, of course, suffered the concussion. Took him more than 4 weeks to return. And now he stands to play in Thursday's preseason game for the first time since being drafted by the Packers. So, yeah, that's right. He's been around now for going into his second season and hasn't even played in a preseason game yet. But that looks to change on Thursday. It'll be really interesting to see how he does, just because nobody's ever gotten a look at him in a game environment in the NFL. Of course, you know, I think there's kind of an avenue for Jared Abradaris to stick around because of the injuries that have happened to, you know, Jordy Nelson, and Randall Cobb's kind of dealing with this lingering shoulder issue, albeit it doubt he's going to miss any regular season playing time. I don't know. I think it's going to be a long shot for Jared Abradaris to be kept on the 53-man roster. I just don't see how the Packers can do it. But I think what you do is you put him on the practice squad, continue to carry him, and hopefully at some point, you know, who knows if an injury happens in season, he's a guy you could, you know, call up, things like that, and just work with him that way. I just think he's missed so much time that to put him on the 53-man roster now, I don't think he deserves it over a guy like Miles White or even the undrafted rookies on the roster like Larry Pinkard. But I'd be all about the Packers keeping Jared Abradaris on the practice squad. I can't see him keeping him on the 53. Who knows? Maybe, you know, obviously they saw him in practice during the offseason, you know, like for months during, you know, April and May and June. And, you know, they have a much better grip on things. And who knows, you know, Ted Thompson might value Jared Abradaris a little bit more. We'll see what happens, but regardless, excited to see him Thursday night for that first time in a game environment in the Packers uniform. And maybe one final note from yesterday's practice, just because, you know, I don't think it's a big deal, but it's noteworthy. Ty Montgomery missed practice yesterday with injury. he apparently had a quote-unquote tight hamstring, which the way it was worded from the reports I've seen from beat reporters covering practice, if you have a tight hamstring, that's better than a pulled hamstring, that's better than a torn hamstring. So maybe that's an indication that it's relatively minor. But with Jordy Nelson out for the year, Randall Cobb dealing with injury, Jared Aberderis having a concussion for so long, it's notable that one more wide receiver is now dealing with injury. It's unfortunate. Just keep your fingers crossed that it is relatively minor. Who knows? Maybe he could even return for Thursday's game. Nobody's indicated that it's going to keep him out for any, you know, appreciable amount of time. But keep tabs on that, if nothing else. And hopefully it's nothing and we forget about it in a few days. All right, next segment of the show.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday, coming up very shortly here, if you're watching the live edition of the show, the final Ted Thompson press conference of 2015 takes place at 9:15 a.m. Central Time. As usual, streaming live at the Packers.com website. If previous years are any indication, this will be the final press conference for Ted Thompson for the season, who typically doesn't hold any during the regular season. Like I said, this is previous year's experience. If that policy has changed and I just don't know it, well, so be it. But it's rare when Ted Thompson speaks once the season starts. So be interesting to hear from him one last time. I'm sure he'll get a lot of questions about trying to establish that roster for the Packers as they get ready for the regular season. He'll be asked about the roster cuts and things like that. How forthcoming Ted Thompson will be in his answers are another thing. But regardless, and this is kind of one of the few things happening on this Wednesday. There's no public practice, no game being played. So this is kind of the one newsworthy item that's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers today. The Packers are practicing. So yesterday on Tuesday, it was the final training camp practice open to the public. I guess today, Wednesday, is the final training camp practice overall. It's just taking place behind closed doors inside the Don Hutson Center. That's typical of every practice the day before a game, close to the public, close to reporters, close to the media. And so it's the last one. Training camp pretty much comes to a close today. You know, if you're the Green Bay Packers, I don't know if you consider the final preseason game training camp or not, but we're nearing the finish line regardless here. So another one in the books, always a highly anticipated event. And now that the regular season's upon us, people are pretty much already forgotten about training camp and how much they were looking forward to it just a month ago. But an exciting time here as we get ready for the start of the regular season. And hey, everybody, that'll do it for today's show. Enjoy tomorrow night's game, Packers-Saints, 7 p.m. Central Time. I know it's televised on the Packers TV network. No national telecast. But anyway, enjoy the last game. We'll be back again on Friday as we talk to Scott McKenna for his monthly engagement the first Friday of every month. We'll be giving our roster predictions for the Green Bay Packers as they will be by that time in between the final preseason game and Saturday when they have to make their final roster cuts, establish the 53-man roster. So we'll be giving all sorts of predictions then. So we'll see you then, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, Friday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m., the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action, if you've not done so already, and many of you have, and thank you, but please give us a rating on iTunes. It helps us get the word out about the show. That is totally free, no subscription, no paywall. It's the one small thing we ask in return. Just go to your iTunes website or your app or whatever you have and give us a little bit of rating and a comment if you would.
But we'll see you, folks. Hey, here's a song called The Way That It Goes by Kyle Hollingsworth on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.